Good morning, everyone. Last week, we finished our series on Shall We Ascend, which was all about the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. In April and May, we're going to be looking at a series called Stories Jesus Told, which are all about the parables that Jesus spoke about. Until then, we're preparing for Easter, which is going to be happening at the end of this month. You know, I love to ask people questions, and so my question for you today is, who loves receiving a present? Yeah, everyone, sure. But isn't it even better if it's an unexpected or a surprise present? That's what I've got for someone this morning. It's a present you didn't know you were going to receive. And here it is. Shall we just look at it for a few minutes? Looking at a present, what's that like? A really good thing? Okay, so maybe someone wants to feel it and shake it and just see how heavy it is. Even better than that, though, is for someone to come to the front and not just do those things, but open it up and then hopefully share, if it's appropriate to, what's inside. I found, and you found, I know, that you have to open a wrapped present to see what is inside. You can't just put your present in a box or in a cupboard and leave it there. You have to unwrap it, you have to see what's in there, and then you can use it. That's a really important thought that we'll be exploring a little bit later. But the series, the title that we're looking at this morning is It's All in the Book. It's all in the Bible. Whatever we find out about in life, so much of it is from the Bible. I wonder if you know why we call the Bible the Bible. Actually, it's just a Greek word, ta biblia, and it means the books. Because, as you know, the Bible is made up of two testaments, 66 books and 1,189 chapters. Probably everyone that's here loves reading or has read a lot in the past. And the Bible contains mysteries, genealogies, lists, teaching, military campaigns, romance, poetry, laws, sayings, as well as past and future events. A great thing to remember about is the Bible is still absolutely relevant today as it was relevant all those years ago when it was first written.
It's still absolutely relevant. Even though it's an old book, it's still relevant. It's still needing to be read by all of us. The Old Testament was mostly written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was mostly written in Greek. Some of you might have heard of the Vulgate. That was in Latin, and that was done by this person, mainly by this person called Jerome, in the late 4th century. Some of you are Latin scholars, because I did Latin at school. Did any of you? Yeah, well, we did a bit of Latin. And Vulgate is from a Latin word which kind of means vulgar. Now, today's meaning of vulgar isn't something very nice, is it? You don't want anything that's vulgar. But years ago, it used to mean of the common people, of the common tongue. So Vulgate means something for everybody. All right? And then the first English Bible, complete English Bible anyway, was translated in 1382 by a fairly local man, John Wycliffe. He was from Lutterworth. So we've had the Bible in English hundreds of years. And I'm sure in Dutch, in Portuguese, in Spanish, in Italian, I'm looking around for other languages as well. Portuguese, we've said already. Welsh. Yeah, we've got them in different languages. And the first time, I'm not going to quiz you because I don't know, the first time that the Bible was written completely in these different languages was significant. And someone did an incredible work by doing that. Do you know, the Bible has a lot of influence, even in our society today. When you look, for instance, at, I don't know, something from Asda or Sainsbury's, do you notice that the Bible is there? It really is. Let me show you. This has got the Bible on it. And this has definitely got the Bible. If I had my glasses on, I'd be able to read, out of the strong comes forth sweetness. It's on here and on there. And there's a picture of a lion with some bees on it. What does that remind you of? Samson. Samson, the Bible, is on golden syrup. Until last week, when they decided, let's not put him on anymore. In fact, what Lyle said is, we want to refresh the brand's legacy to appeal to a 21st century audience. They said that last week. What a load of rubbish. I don't say that very often. How brilliant is the Bible for 21st century audience? And they're saying, oh, let's take off. Although it hasn't, they've been very clever and left the lion's face on and one bee, but they've taken the quote from the Bible away just to make it better for 21st century audiences. I'm glad lots of you are shaking your head in disgust. It's rubbish. Have you ever thought about contacting them and say, what a silly thing to do? They only did it last week, or at least that's when it came out on the news. Why don't you, this week or next week, write to Lyle's and say, what a pathetic, well, use a better word than that. What a silly thing you've done. The Bible is still relevant for people in the 21st century. Don't take the Bible off things. Keep it on. So now when you look at golden syrup, hopefully you're going to think the Bible, because the Bible quote is there. What about, I've been looking at ambulances recently. When you go past an ambulance, there's a symbol on it, isn't there? Can anyone describe it to me? Right. So it's called the Star of Life, and it features a blue six-pointed star outlined by a white border. And then in the middle of it, they've called it a rod of Asclepius, which is an ancient symbol of medicine. What I see is a wooden rod and a snake going round it. Does that remind you of anything? It reminds me of Numbers 21, 8 and 9. Serpents were in the camp of the Israelites. And so what did God say to the Israelites or to Moses? Make a rod and fashion a serpent on the rod. And if you get bitten and you look at this rod with a serpent going around it, you'll get life. You'll come back to life. You won't die. So when I look at an ambulance, I think, there's the Bible, because there's a rod and a snake going around the rod. It's in the Bible, Numbers 21, 8 and 9. I bet if we're going to look around about more influence of the Bible in society today, we'd see it. We wouldn't just think of golden syrup and ambulances. I just wanted to get you started in thinking about it, but it happens further as well. Last year, there was a coronation, and in 1953, 1937, 1911, 1902, 1838, and all the way back to 1689, the monarch has been given a Bible. And when one of the bishops or the Archbishop of Canterbury gives them the Bible, they say, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Isn't that truly wonderful? Where an ancient service that is broadcast to everyone who wants to watch it, they say, here's a Bible. And by the way, this is the most valuable thing in the world. If you've got your Bible with you, and it's handy, just have a look at it and think, this is the most valuable thing in the world. Of course, it might be on your phone, and then you can just think, it's not my phone that's the most valuable, but that app is really helping me to know about God. Do you know, there was someone who used to come to this church, and she's moved away and everything, that's why she left. But when people put the Bible on the floor, she wasn't happy about it because she grew up in another faith and she got converted to Christianity, and her other former religion told her that their holy book was to be revered. And some, like the Jews, don't really touch their holy book, the Old Testament. They use like a pen type thing that so they don't have to touch it by. I wonder how much more reverence we can show to God's holy word. Maybe not physically, because it's a book, but what it contains. Could we show reverence to it because of what God is speaking? This is God's work. This is the most valuable thing in the world. Do you think between us, we can show reverence to God's holy word? I read something by Dallas Willard the other day. The gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. Do you know, the Bible is all about that, helping us to live God's way today. And not just thinking of months, weeks, decades, years in the future when we're going to pass away and get into the next chapter of our life and go into God's presence. God is saying, use the Bible to learn about me now, because life is contained in the Bible. Like I put there, the Bible aids us greatly with this learning about how to live in the kingdom of heaven now. It's a manual for excellent living. This is wonderful, isn't it? It's a manual. Do you remember? We could have looked at this present and not really got the present. We just looked at it. Could we be guilty of just looking at the Bible and not really opening it and not really getting stuck into what God is saying to you through it? Maybe you might just casually look at it sometimes. But God is saying, open the present. See how wonderful I love you. See how much I've done for you. And it's all contained in here. Isn't that great? Hooray for the Bible, that we can read it. But hooray even more that God made it happen. After all these thousands of years, it could have just got lost or something, but God has made it happen that in many, many languages we can read the Bible, and God changes us as we read the Bible and obey what he says. There's a challenge coming up. Are you ready for it? None of us, I'm looking round, are really children in the faith. Some of us are a bit younger than others in the faith. Some of us have known God for decades and decades. So I don't think most of us, anyway, are children in the faith anymore. There's a great verse in 2 Timothy, and it says this, 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, I think. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analysing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You can tell that's from the Amplified Bible. It's quite a long one. But if you were sitting here while the notices were going on, you might remember that one of them was saying, this is 2 Timothy, it was saying from the Living Bible, the whole Bible straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. I don't know about you, sometimes in my life, I need to be straightened out. And it's the Bible that straightens us out. As we spend time with God, reading the Bible, praying, being with other people, the Bible straightens us out from being a bit crumpled and not knowing quite what to do in our lives, to saying, yes, Lord, you are wonderful. Because we're not children, we need to take responsibility for our own learning. Now, often at the front, you'll get lots of teaching and during the week and Tuesday email and newsletter and all sorts of things. But I want to encourage you, don't just wait for someone at the front to feed you. Just like during the week, you don't wait for someone to get a spoon and pop it in your mouth. You might have done years and years and years ago, but adults don't do that sort of thing, generally speaking, do we? We feed ourselves. We say, oh, I need to be fed today. I'm going to make a meal. Every day, we can have the banquet of reading the Bible by just saying, Lord, you've written it as a love letter to me. Help me, Lord, to look at it today and know that you're speaking to me today. I think, probably you do as too, we should actively intend to read the Bible every day. Most of us, I think, use daily Bible reading notes. I could ask, oh, what do you read? I'm not going to do that, but have a think about what you do. Maybe you could read a chunk of the Bible every day. I've done a mathematical sum here. There's 1,189 chapters. Because it's a leap year, if we divide it by 366, it's roughly, if we read 3.25 chapters a day, you've read the whole Bible in a year. That'll be really good, wouldn't it? Maybe you could do your own research a little bit. Get a book from the library, or if you've got a computer or phone, watch a video or look at a video, look at an online article about the Bible. There's so much there. Even on our website, the church's website, there's plenty that you can learn about just because it's so good to read the Bible. Am I doing a good job at trying to encourage you to read the Bible? That's what I'm setting out to do today. Read the Bible. It's good for you. With medicine, my mum's in hospital still, and there was one tablet. She pulled a right face when she was eating it because it's a chewing tablet type thing. Oh, that's, she didn't even need to say a word. It was just, you could see by her face that was not pleasant. This is brilliant. This is going to give us life. This is going to make us more holy, more reverent in our lives. This is going to change us. It might make us pull a little face sometimes because God will challenge us. But it's not like some horrible medicine. God loves us and wants us to be keen on knowing him. Very broadly, I'd say, this is a stereotype. Characteristics today. People want instant things, things that are done quickly. They're for the moment of little consequence. Please yourself, not other people. And you might want to conceal wrong. Generally speaking, I'll just put a few thoughts down there. However, do we read the Bible like that? If we read the Bible just really quickly, oh, I'll read a verse today. Judas went and hung himself. Go and do likewise. That's no good, is it? We don't do that. It's no good just picking a bit of the Bible and saying, oh, I'll just do what the Bible says today. We have to spend time. We have to ponder. We have to consider the eternal weight of the Bible. It's not just for today. It's for our souls to do something good in our lives. It's highly significant. It's not about pleasing ourselves, it's obeying God all the way. And as the Bible says, it's not saying, oh, I'll just forget about the things that are not so good in my life. It's saying, Lord, I know you've said I need to do something in my life. I'm going to get some help. I'm not going to rest and do things badly. So what else could we do? Here's some more suitable actions to take. Actively try to memorize scripture. I know sometimes during the week I might try and do that. Again, just thinking about my mum who's in hospital. When I go, she's sometimes a bit, because if you're in hospital for a while, you'd be a bit, and she says, oh, it's a bit, life's a bit hard, and it's, oh, I wish I wasn't here. And I say, Mum, just remind me, what does Psalm 23 say? And guess what she does? She recites Psalm 23, because in the past, She's read the Bible and memorized it. And then this face becomes a better face. Something has changed within her because she remembers truth. Isn't that good for all of us? I'm just using my mom as an example. I bet all of us are like that now and again. As we've memorized scripture, it's fantastic. As we memorize scripture, so God helps us and changes us. I've not been glib about putting prison. Some Christians in other countries get put in prison because of their faith. Could it be coming to this country? If we talk about God over the next 20 years, will we get put in prison? No Bible, no contact with other Christians. Aren't we going to be saying, oh Lord, I'm so glad that I've memorized scripture because now I'm in prison. It's not just people in North Korea. It's not just people in Sudan or wherever. It's people in England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, the country we love. It might happen. When we're out and about, maybe you don't want to take your Bible downtown. But if God is saying to someone, to you, go and talk to that person. You don't want to be thinking, now what does the Bible say about so-and-so? If God is saying, go and speak to them and then just remind you of a scripture that really illuminates their life, isn't that wonderful? And it's brilliant because we've memorized the scripture. One word that this book, that some of us are using through Lent, says is that we need to ruminate the scripture. Chew it over, just like cows do. They chew their food over a little bit, don't we? So chew the Bible over and just see what it says to you. Maybe sometimes, instead of doing what you normally do, which might be read the Bible for 10 or 15 minutes and then read your notes and do something, maybe just do something totally different and say to yourself, today I'm going to read, for example, the book of James from the beginning to the end. So instead of reading a small amount, you're going to read a whole book, because that way you're getting an idea of what the writer originally said. So maybe there's an idea. God hasn't retired. When we read the Bible, God is still the same as he was then and now. No change. So when God is doing things that are miraculous and brilliant and challenging and just so different from what we see around us today, God is still doing the same. He hasn't put his slippers on and sat in a comfy chair. God is still at work today. He's not retired at all. Here's a wonderful response. When the book of the law was found, because there's lots of good kings and lots of bad kings in the times of Israel and Judah, going back a good time, a few hundred years before Christ. This is one response, a wonderful response, in 2 Kings 22. A person said to the king, I've got a book here. It was the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, we think, that Hilkiah gave me because they were renovating the temple, and they found it. And he read it aloud to the king. And what happened to the king? He thought, we're not living like God says. We're doing terrible things. We're not living righteous lives, pure lives, holy lives. We're doing our own things. So he tore his clothes in dismay. I think about my own life. When I read the Bible and it points very strongly at something I'm doing wrong, do I actually tear metaphorically my clothes and say, I'm sorry, Lord? Do we do like King David and say, Psalm 51, Lord, I've done wrong here. I've had a man killed and I've had wrong relationships with this lady. Lord, will you forgive me? All scripture is God-breathed. It just means it's breathed out by God. Just like when someone's really poorly and they're getting sort of all attention from people, sort of maybe they've had an accident and they're on the road and someone gives them CPR. I think that's what it's called, is it? CPR? And they're breathing into their lungs. Their breath is going into this other person's. How much more do we need God's breath in us? Through reading the Bible, We do, don't we? I love this verse. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp before my feet and a light for my journey. So this word is like a divine communication to all of us. And the lamp is from the Hebrew word that means something is glistening. So there's light that's helping us as we walk. There's brightness, there's clearness in our lives. Just because God is saying, read the Bible, get used to what's going on, learn the way I think, and it will help you as you work in your life. I don't know if Paul's eyes lit up when he opened the present. He shared them, which was a beautiful thing. But when we open the Bible, let's say, Lord, will you help my eyes to light up and say, Lord, what a fantastic gift you have given me, that you've given us the Bible. We need to open presents because we need to appreciate and thank the person who thought the cost of the present was worth it. We need to use the gift. We need to benefit from the kindness that was expressed. And just like this morning, we can share the gift with other people. It's the same in the Bible. All of those things are wonderful that help us to live our lives as we say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is absolutely brilliant. It's the best present I could have today to read. And maybe when you go into looking into the present, it might be when you were a youngster, and you might have thought, just like I got people to do, you gave it a shake, you felt the weight. Oh, what's that? Is it going to be an action man? Is it going to be Top Trumps? Is it going to be a brilliant book I want to read, like Enid Blyton, The Famous Five, or something like that? Was that how you were when you were young and about to open a present? Were you thinking, what could this be? Wouldn't it be wonderful when we read the Bible for us to say, what will we find? What will we learn? How will we change because of reading it? And who's going to journey with me as I read the Bible? Last slide. Let's decide to regularly open the book, both together and alone. And then let's do what the Bible says. How good a salesman have I been today? I don't need to sell the Bible, do I? But I know for all of us, sometimes it's so easy to open the Bible and then after 10 minutes to shut it and for us not to really encounter God. And yet the Bible says it is living, it is active. It is there to challenge us, to encourage us, for our lives to be changed. So let me encourage you. Read the Bible. Bring the Bible to all sorts of places, wherever you go. Have it handy at home, because God might say, read the Bible, look at this verse. And you might say, Lord, help me to really study and show myself approved. Presents are great, but isn't this a wonderful, brilliant, super present that we can all open and benefit from? So I'm going to pray, and then we can respond and say, yes, Lord, will you help me, not just today, because I feel a bit guilty to read the Bible. Help me tomorrow and the next day and the next day to make it a regular routine in my life and see the transformation in my life and in other people's life because of what you're saying to me. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is your word. It's not man's word. Lord, you don't sugarcoat what's in here. There's all kinds of stuff in here that's for our benefit. We are so grateful. Lord, thank you that in all the languages we speak between us, there's Bibles there. We pray for those, Lord, that are still translating the Bible into languages that don't even have a portion, let alone the whole Bible yet. Lord, we pray for encouragement on their journey. just as we pray for help and confidence as we read your word, that we might know you and follow you with all our hearts, Lord. Amen.